A report from Beijing News, the newspaper, has revealed that over 30 hospice and palliative care facilities in the capital are said to be struggling to meet growing demand, despite offering around 2,000 beds.
Yeah.
So yeah, the max number of people can be taken in is 2,000, which doesn't sound like a lot in a city like Beijing.
Yeah.
But first of all, guys, in a thumbnail, could you please unpack this concept of hospice care and also palliative care?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a huge factor in our discussion because if there's not enough of them, and maybe they're very much needed. Okay, so because these aren't like your average hospitals, and this is why. Let's take a hospice care, for example. Those focus on a person's last 6 months of life or less. It's when curative treatment is no longer an option. Hospice professionals basically just make the patient's life as comfortable as possible for their remaining days. This also means, though, when I talk about palliative care, that hospice care facilities also include palliative care in their healthcare practices. But here's the difference, guys. Anytime you hear hospice, this is terminal. This person's going to pass away, okay? So that's what I want you to take away from that definition. Now let's define palliative. Unlike hospices, palliative care can be performed for non-terminal patients. It is, in fact, to help them maybe live longer and happier lives. So, like for non-terminal patients, palliative care is about managing the symptoms and side effects of maybe some life-limiting things or chronic illnesses, but it doesn't always have to be like that. You can receive palliative care at the same time when you receive treatment to get a cure of your illness. So basically, if I'm getting palliative care, I could be suffering from a life-limiting illness, but maybe there's hope. There's something that can happen where I'll be cured. So here's a good example. I'll use cancer, okay? Cancer is that word we all fear, and it's a scary word to say. But in these two different places, maybe it's not as scary. So in a hospice, cancer means that you're terminal, you're going to pass away. There's no longer any efforts to kill the cancer, to bring you back to health. It's basically just how can we make you as comfortable as possible till cancer claims you. In palliative care, so we know that if you're in palliative care, you might have cancer, okay? Or you do have cancer. Let's say you do have cancer. But you're receiving things like chemotherapy and treatments. You're paying for so much more in the hopes that the cancer will go away. It'll recede and you'll be healthy again. Of course, maybe that won't happen. And in which case, it could become terminal and maybe you will be transferred in some places to a hospice hospital or a hospice facility. But in which case, if you're in the care of palliative care, it doesn't always mean it's going to be terminal. There is hope that maybe you can be cured.
Yes, and also just one small thing to add here, that is with palliative, that's what the Brits would say. Sometimes they would take in patients of chronic diseases. That meaning that it's a long-term illness that needs a lot of care, like long-term, and it's something that could also be taken care of by these kind of facilities, in which we see a growing number of chronic disease patients in China.
So, yes, okay. Mm-hmm. But talking about hospices, you know, death is not something that's ever been new to human beings, right? It's always been a part of our condition. Yet hospices is kind of a modern thing. They didn't come about till 1967. I guess in the UK it was founded by Dame Cicely Saunders. And here in Beijing, I guess we have the Songtang Hospice, which was founded in 1987. It was China's first hospice and first nursing home that offers medical treatment and care to senior citizens. I guess palliative care hospices and palliative care wards in hospitals have been established in many provinces In the recent 30 years, the State Council, China's cabinet, published several guidelines to promote the development of health service industry in 2013, which stated clearly that we should develop medical care organizations like palliative care hospices actively. So there is an initiative. It has been recognized by the government. And the Beijing Municipal Health and Family Planning Commission selected 15 medical organizations to be the first batch of pilot palliative care hospices in Beijing this March.
Yes, and that's also why it's reaching the news right now, as we're getting a lot of attention has been given to this area of our medical care services being provided in this country. Qinduo, I have a question for you here. That is, you know, after Ryan giving all this information and very comprehensive picture of how hospice care has developed. But why is it that this is a relatively new thing in medical history, as we see even, you know, across the world?
Well, I think it's a developing concept. For China, it's over the past 30 years. And we are talking about the situation basically in Beijing, you know, the capital city of China. The concept I said is new, because if you go to the smaller cities or second tier or third tier cities, probably many people, they don't have such awareness. Hey, there's a differentiation, I would say, between cure the illness itself and taking care of the patients at the last period of life. You know, because there are some disease, you know, when the doctor would say, sorry, that's all we can do, there's no other choice. At this point, I think there's a different kind of care, that is to reduce the discomfort, to reduce the pain at the last 6 or less months of the patient. So this is, I think this basically, you know, means like there's a developed sense, developed awareness of the Chinese people. And then you see the need is usually developing faster than the supply. And the government intervention is really a recent thing. 2013 national government recognition about the care and the services, how necessary they are. And then the city government, Beijing, you know, about this pilot program, only this year. So it's pretty new thing.
Yeah, that's really interesting. A little bit of something that just got me thinking here is that we might be seeing a changing in the view towards death.
Let me chime in here.
Yes, please.
Because I totally agree with you know, what we're talking about here and some of the things that we're talking specifically in China. But I also want to reference that, you know, the first hospice here in Beijing, also China, was only 20 years after the first hospice that was widely regarded as the founder of the modern hospice movement. That is the one in the UK in 1967. So this is not something that is just new to China. It is something I think that is kind of new to the world. And that is, I think there's other factors as well. I totally agree with what we've said so far. But I think, first of all, and I speculate this because I'm no doctor, but I think our ability to make your death comfortable is something that is very modern in the way of medicine. I think medicine in and of itself, to have the ability of things like morphine or whatever you need to help you basically pass on more comfortably, is relatively new in our medical ways. You know, 100 years ago, surgery looked way different. You know, guys were opening you up, and it was aggressive, throwing things. You don't need this. You don't need that. You know, so now it's really kind of become, within this short amount of time, medicine as we know it has become so much stronger than what it was. So that's one speculation, is that hospices are a product of our medical advancement. Okay. Also, I think that there's a taboo too. Maybe somebody came up with the idea, even if there wasn't medicine, to say, hey, you know, let's make a place where people, where we know they're going to pass away, to make their life as easier as possible, bring them food, make them comfortable. That might not have been a new thought, okay? Without the medicine, that still sounds better than nothing. Yet, I think there'll always be this taboo. Like, maybe somebody walks up to you and they say, hey, I'm going to throw this piece of paper at you. And you say, you're waiting for it. And they're like, not right now, though, when you least expect it. And there's this feeling of anxious. It's almost like, when is it going to happen? Imagine living in a hospice is every day being reminded that death can take you. And there's this thought, you're constantly reminded. Basically what I'm saying, a taboo-ness mm-hmm. that maybe most people don't want to think about. But maybe recently in history we've decided it's better to go comfortably.
So. Yes, that's really interesting because I think for a layman
mm-hmm.
like myself, not having much contact with death firsthand, it just feels like when you know that's sort of knocking on the door, but you're supposed to fight it no matter what. But here with hospice care and palliative care, it sounds like you're kind of accepting it and making peace with it and even going to a place to get ready for it to some extent.
Yeah.
And that kind of thinking is certainly not familiar for Chinese people in general. What do you think?
That's a great point. I think both of you have made a great point. So, you know, like Ryan pointed out, this, you know, technology progress, medical, progress in there. So enabling the human being, yes, we can do something. You know, we have this ability actually to reduce the pain, to reduce the discomfort at the last days, last month of your life. And as He Yang pointed out, especially in China, I think we have this another, it's like furthering the point of taboo. Relatives and the family members, the rest of the family members, they don't accept that. They find it hard to accept. It's like, I know, like my, you know, parents or father or mother, somehow like, you know, the death suddenly confronts you directly without any, you know, fantasy, like somehow we can cure the illness, you know, somehow, you know, probably my father or my mother can continue to live for another 3 years, 4 years. No, it's so direct, it's so kind of offensive. People refuse to accept that. And that could somehow serve as a barrier for people to really embrace this idea. You know, this is the reality. Mm-hmm. This is an unhappy reality. We have to face it, and we have to prepare for that.
Mm. Yes.
Talking about this, though, not necessarily just hospices, but maybe palliative care, mm-hmm. with the hopes that I can come back from this, okay? I want to list some figures here to kind of show the need for this kind of care. Not necessarily, but maybe hospice, but definitely palliative, okay? And hospices have palliative, so regardless, this one's needed, palliative, okay? The 2016 Beijing Sanitation and Population Health Status Report, published this July, and showed that malignant tumors remained the top cause of death in Beijing, taking up 26.8% of all deaths. Now, remember, cancer is kind of the long-term or, time killer, right? It's not like a car crash. It's not like a trauma wound, trauma being blood gushing everywhere. Cancer takes its time, or sometimes not that much time, but it's not something that's bam, as far as I know. Okay, these people need palliative care to comfort them in the last periods of their lives, and in fact, most of the patients accepted by these palliative care hospices in Beijing are in a terminal stage of cancer. So this is also part of this report I mentioned, basically saying exactly what I said. These people need hospices, but definitely palliative care as well, both as well. And according to rough statistics, a reporter from the Beijing News said there were over 30 medical organizations like Shougang Hospital, which can offer palliative care in Beijing, including both public and private ones. Okay, so you have public and private. They offer around 2,000 beds, as He Yang had said. However, the reporter visited more than 10 of these hospitals this October in Beijing and found that no matter if a hospice offers several beds or several hundred beds or 1,000 beds, it's always pretty much full. Mm-hmm. It's more often than not full. So this paints a picture that there isn't enough of these beds, and there's a demand, but we don't have the supply. And one of the things that I think is really interesting here is we have an example. 70% of the elderly patients in the Beijing Songtang Palliative Care Hospice are using the hospice as a nursing home. Some patients have even been living there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a place calling itself a hospice. We already have not enough hospices with not enough beds, but places that aren't acting like hospices, and there are people living there for 10 years. So this is really painting a picture of there is a huge demand, But the supply, for so many different reasons, is just maybe not there.
That's interesting, because there is also another way to look at this. That is demand that big? Is demand for hospice care that big? Or is it demand for palliative / curative, like nursing homes? This demand big? So
I would say both. You know, nursing home, of course, it's a little bit beside the point, but it's related. Mm-hmm. You know, China is a rapidly aging society. We all know that, and we do have more and more growing population. You know, like as urbanization process continues, basically the past practice of family members taking care of the senior is no longer there. Mm-hmm. So you have to mm-hmm. offer nursing homes, mm-hmm. and you know, of different various kinds, to provide the service and the care for the senior citizens. And so that's, you know, there's more demand than supply, and then you have the hospice mm-hmm. and palliative needs. With the growing awareness, more and more people would say and accept such a they need the care, they need your service, and then obviously the demand is not there. So in both cases, yes, there are more demands than supply.
I think, Hyung, you also paint a good picture that basically we have a place calling itself a hospice. And for the sake of this argument, it's not acting like a hospice. Mm-hmm. We can't assume what the demand is or the mm-hmm. supply is necessarily just based off these places that are calling themselves a hospice, but acting more as a nursing home. This makes it hard to be able to find the problem or find out if there is a problem, basically people needing hospice care. Okay, but keep in mind that this guy from the Beijing News, he had gone to 10 of these hospitals and found almost all of them were full. Okay.
Yes.
So also a thing I want to say here too is we're talking about the definition of what a hospice is, right? And one of the things that I think hospices should be is a standardized thing, right? Hospitals often are very standardized in how they treat their patients in these kind of things, or I think so, right? So hospices should be the same. And yet I think we see here in China, you have places like the Beijing Xingshan Hospital, 400 beds it's offering for hospice care, but there's no psych care for its people. Yet you have the Shougang Hospital, and every week they're trying to improve their service quality, and they have psychologists on call all the time to help patients who are in a low mood. Imagine, somebody says, well, psychologists, why are they so necessary in a hospice? Well, imagine you're coping with deaths being at your doorstep, this whole feeling of I'm going to leave everybody I know and love. This obviously, death is a hard thing to stomach. Mm-hmm. And if there's somebody that you can talk to that knows a couple of tricks to help you kind of look at a brighter side of things, that is sometimes more important than any medical treatment, especially in a hospice where you're already terminal. Psychologists helping you deal with the fact you are going to get there and being happy with and enjoying the last bits of your life. That should be a standard.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really valid point. And that's also something we're not seeing in a lot of these hospice care or palliative care places. Because I feel when, to some extent, maybe medical treatment is not the biggest priority anymore, mm-hmm. then the mind, the comfort mm-hmm. that's given there is more important.
Yes, if you look at the practice in more developed countries, usually hospice requires like the presence of a nurse, mm-hmm. doctor, and a spiritual supporter, mm-hmm. volunteer work, social workers, you know, psychological counselors.
Yeah.
We need all the support. We need all the services and the care they provide.
Yes, for sure. So now we're here seeing that mm-hmm. there, first of all, is a lack of beds, a lack of
standardization.
And standardization. Mm-hmm. And people sometimes don't even know what to look for or what mm-hmm. to expect. But so there are so many problems and answers that need to be given here. Mm-hmm. But guys, I only have this very little time for you now, but how do we solve this?
So looking at Songtong Palliative Care Hospice, they charge around no more than 6,000 yuan for basically the room, the expenses of the bed and medical care and treatment. This can be pretty pricey for some people, so not even an option if I know about it. Hopefully government funding can help so that people can use these facilities if they really need it. I think there needs to be transparency. We need to know what a hospice is and that this place is acting like a hospice and not a nursing home. So they can take care of two different demographics, okay? And then on top of that, Hyung, you had just said it, I think information. Get this out there to the people that need it. Yeah.
Exactly. Also, not only government funding, but also probably private investment in this sector.
Yeah.
Yes. And certainly when we look at this, I don't see that the government can be the sole carer and funding for this.
I do want to say, too, in many hospices in the U.S., there's volunteer programs, and we actually get quite a few volunteers. I believe that also happens here in Beijing, probably in many other cities. So I'd encourage people that if you care about our elderly generations, you know, take care of them. You can volunteer, and this makes it economically feasible as well.
Yes, and that is always a really vital part of this kind of hospice care in the international practices as we see. Be a volunteer.
Yeah.
Yeah, pay it forward.